Okay, I think we can call our DR team up here in place of a normal sermon. Yeah, come on up here, guys. We've got some pictures that we can have scrolling just in the background as we share. In place of a normal sermon, we're going to have several people from our team that went down this summer share a bit about their experience. And just going to give you a little intro here. I'm going to start by reading a birthday card I received a couple weeks ago. My birthday. This is from my in-laws, Carolyn's parents. It says, "Once upon a time, a very special person was born who was destined to change the world." It's like my birthday. Born to change the world? Destined to change the world. Inside, calm down. It's not you, it's Jesus. I think he'd want you to have a happy birthday, though. Love you, Mom and Dad. So, sometimes you do think, I'm going to change the world. I'm going to change the world. We're going to go on this mission trip. And we're going to change the world. Or I'm going to become a teacher. Or I'm going to be a coach. Or I'm going to be a doctor. And I'm going to change the world. But really, that's not our job, right? Our job as Christians is to point people to the Savior who can change the world, who can change lives and families and cultures. And so that was really our goal as a team coming down this summer to the Dominican, is to just point people to Jesus. Wanted to say, some of you will remember just that the Simoses were here a couple weeks ago, and actually the Kleins will be here early September, maybe first Sunday of September. So we know that, you know, many of you are familiar with the ministry at Freedom, and we've been involved there since the beginning for the last 10 or so years. And it's just been a joy as a church, you know, that we support the Kleins and Simos families. If you just remember from that presentation, the ministry at Freedom started with a group of 30 preschoolers and just a couple missionary families. And in the last 8 or so years, it is now 390 students and over 35 adult missionaries. And they have a campus with a school building and apartment buildings. And it's just really grown leaps and bounds by God's, you know, by God's grace. It's really grown. And so it's just an exciting thing to be part of this over the years and over the decades. And, you know, as an old guy, I'm excited to see what it will be by then. And they talk about multiple campuses and, you know, who knows what the Lord will do with this. You may remember also that these really are the least of these. These are Haitian immigrant families that come into the Dominican Republic, and they're, you know, the men work in the sugarcane fields. They don't make a good wage. They live in substandard housing. And so it's been our pattern as a church to send a team down every other summer. So this was a summer for us to go, and we took 21 with us in our bigger group. But then we met up with some others, so we had a couple teens that were there as interns, and we're going to hear from them this morning. Also, Jonas and Olivia went for like a second week of their honeymoon kind of thing, so they were down there, and then Brandon went down later, and now Ethan is actually there. He just went and arrived safely there this past week, so all in all, we've had about 30 of our folks from here at Aletheia that have been involved in ministry down in the DR. Right now it's summer, so they're actually starting school next Monday. So if you think of that, maybe we can remember as a church to pray for them next month or next Sunday as we gather, because they start school the next day. So since the school is not in session, they had in the summer months, they had several programs available for the kids to keep them coming and learning and growing. And so in the morning there was English camp for the kids. And then in the afternoon, there was a Bible camp. And then we also sent teams out into the villages called Bates to do vacation Bible school. And so those were all awesome opportunities. And then we were also involved in some construction projects. Some of our big guys up here were involved in the construction project. So I'm going to have just several of our teens share, and then some of our adults, and then we're going to turn it over to our interns. Do you guys want to stand up here the whole time? Why don't we have everybody sit down? Sit down? Stand up? Sit down. Sit down. All right, so I think Isaac's going to go first. I don't want to leave you all alone. You need some moral support?
I don't care. Hi, everyone. My name is Isaac, and I'd like to tell you a little bit about our evening meeting. After we did our two things of service in the morning and afternoon, we would eat and then have an evening meeting. Some of the missionaries' families would lead us in worship, and then Jason Hilderman, one of the missionaries there, would do a Bible study with us. We talked about fighting the fight of faith, and he led us through Daniel and talked about how he fought the fight of faith well, and then he talked about Esther, how she didn't fight the fight of faith well. He tied it all together with a couple verses, gave some application there. One of the verses was 1 Corinthians 9, 26 and 27, and it talks about running the race, I will beat my body and make it my slave. He asked us to think of a word that would describe that verse, and we said a couple words, and then he said intentionality. And that really encapsulated the week for me. You know, we're being out of our routine, we're seeing things we haven't seen before, meeting these kids and, you know, being alike to them and getting to know them. And we're seeing the poverty there, so we're feeling like we want to do something, we want to give more. And then we're also feeling like we want to be a light to these kids and a light to everyone. So I thought it was great for me to reflect on that and see that we need to be intentional about everything that we do and really get out of our norm and witness to people in our own lives here and in the DR. So, thanks.
Hi, so this was actually my first mission trip that I had taken, and I'm very grateful for the opportunity experiences that God opened me up to in the 7 days that I was there at Freedom. It was really neat to see God's hand in everything there, and it's something that pictures and stories don't do justice. I mean, seeing the school in action and the kids every day, it was definitely something neat that words just really can't describe. So along with helping in the morning with English camp, I was able to see the other side of the ministry by going out to the Bastes, where we did VBS. So after lunch, we would divide into groups, and some of us would head to the Bastes, which was about a 30-minute drive in the Freedom bus through dirt roads, through the sugarcane fields, which led us to Abate. So Abate is like a community or a village of people, all just kind of living, not necessarily together, but everybody just helping out together, taking care of each other. You really didn't know who belonged to which family. They just kind of all, you know, hung out. So as we drove up, we'd see just groups of kids playing, parents just talking, hanging out on porches. So yeah, it was just, I think, really eye-opening as you just drove up to see all of that as like kind of a first impression. So as we unloaded from the bus, kids would just come up, hold your hand, one on your backs. So we'd take them and we'd go walk around from house to house, which is more like a little hut. With not a lot of room, but a lot of people. And we would take kids of all ages, some babies, little infants. We would take them all. And then after, we would go up to the church, which was there in the Bate. Most Bates had a church or kind of a little area where you can meet. So this one had like a little stone church that we were able to meet in. So once we went up there to the church, we would sing songs. Different members from teens would share their testimonies with the kids, and then they would get a Bible lesson in Spanish, which was very different to hear Bible lessons in Spanish. That was kind of neat. But then after that, we would just play with the kids and hang out with them. It was really neat to see. We would bring out different like toys for them to play with, jump ropes, balls. And it was just really neat to see their faces like kind of light up as we would not only arrive, but, you know, get out toys for them since they don't necessarily have a lot of that at where they're from. It was definitely such an eye-opening experience to see the students' home life and what and where they come from. Their homes are small with no running water or electricity. Many of them with broken families living with different people at different times. They have a poor education system, and many of their parents cannot read or write. They have no organized sports for them to be participate in. And most importantly, the spiritual poverty is overwhelming as well. It was a very humbling and neat experience to be able to show Christ's love to these kids. It was neat to see how happy they were when we arrived and we got out toys for them. It also made me more grateful for what I have and showed me how much I take for granted. It just really made me stop and realize how fortunate I am for everything, even though I'm so undeserving of it all. This trip was definitely an experience that I will remember, and I'm looking forward to going back in the future. Thank you.
So most of us in the morning helped with English camp, and that was my job throughout the week, in the morning anyway. And I would say probably the word of the week was patience. The group that I worked with was 4th through 6th graders. I teach 5th grade here, so naively I thought it's a Christian school. These kids are going to be so well behaved. And it took, I don't know, 10 minutes into the morning to realize that was not at all the case. They were only supposed to speak English in the morning. That didn't happen either. There was a lot of chatter, and I had to get over this being self-conscious to think. I mean, I had no idea what they were saying, and I'm pretty sure there were a couple times there was some conflict, and they were saying some not very nice things, but, you know, we didn't know any different. But it was a great experience. The kids that I worked with, there was one kid, actually, they told us, I think Monday night, the year before in school, she had actually come very close to being expelled because of her behavior, and that was pretty evident quickly after meeting her. But they had seen a lot of growth, and even during the week, once we kind of built a relationship, it was fun to see the growth in her. And even if she was upset when she left you, the next morning she'd see you, and she'd get, you know, she always gave me a hug, and she was, you know, happy to see I was there, so it was nice to kind of build those relationships. The interns did a great job. I got to work with each. Well, I didn't. I think I wasn't able to work with Faith because she worked with the little guys. But I was able to work with Abe and Alyssa, which was just a blessing to see them in a different environment. Then in the afternoon, we did Bible camp. And that was another interesting experience to start out with. Abe and Jill and I were in a group together, and we only had 5 kids. And by the end of Monday, I didn't think we had enough adults in our group. And we finished. And I remember after everybody got on the bus, everybody was headed out, Jill and I finally, we got a chance to sit down and breathe. And I don't know which of us said it first, but we just looked at each other and said, it's like herding cats. Like, that's exactly what this is. And it was fun. It was controlled chaos to some extent, but it was just interesting. And we talked a lot Monday night and just prayed a lot for patience because, you know, it was supposed to be a summer camp. They were supposed to be having fun, which they did. But there were times the teacher and me was coming out going, this is insanity. Why? You know, it's just total insanity. But the kids got a lot out of it. We got a lot out of it. And the one thing that everybody who works for Freedom kept saying to us was just, it's God's provision. Anything they needed, they took no credit for any of it. They just kept talking about, it's just God's provision. They've got a summer camp that they're starting. They've got, like, a whole other plot of land. Like, it seems like, I don't remember how far it is from where they are, but they have a 30-acre plot of land that on the way back to the airport, Jason Hildreman was telling us about, that they want to buy for another campus. They don't even have the campus done that they're in, and he's ready to move on and just keep building. So that impressed me a lot, that everything they have, they just kept saying it's God's provision, and it is really an incredible experience. I've heard people talk about this for years, but until you go there, you don't get it. You truly don't. So it was a great week. I'm so glad I went. It was a great group of people to go with. I do have one funny story that still makes me laugh. Our afternoon group that I was with Abe and Jill, they were supposed to collect points for their team. So at the end of the week, I think the winning team got an ice cream party or something. And the first afternoon, they were supposed to build a tower as a group, one tower. We had 5 kids in our group. I think they were building 3 separate towers. And we kept saying to them, we want to collect points. We want to work it as a team. It really fell on deaf ears. Well, by the end of the week, and all 3 of us adults are pretty competitive, we came in dead last. Our team was dead last. And Abe looked at me and he smiled and he said, "Not only did we come in last, we failed miserably." And he just smiled at me and he said, "We only had 300,000 points and the winning team had over 1 million. But the kids had a great time. They didn't care. We were far more concerned about winning than they were. They just had a great time. So, anyway, it was a great experience. Thank you guys for supporting us.
So, first I want to thank you guys for supporting us both financially through bake sales and through prayers. I also want to thank the parents of these teens because they were just lights out. So it's hot. You work hard. You're eating food that you don't normally eat. And you know what? I didn't hear a single complaint from anybody. So it was a testament to you parents. So I want to thank you guys. It was really good. So when coming back and going to work, people ask me, "Well, what was it like?" And at first, you kind of want to give that teenage answer. You're like, "Oh, it was good. It was okay," you know. But that's not good enough. That's not good enough. So I started using the word life-changing because that was the best word that I could describe the feeling I had going out there. It's just life-changing. So to see these kids and to see what they have, or really what they don't have, is unbelievable. I saw a little boy, he's rolling a tire because he has no toys. I saw a kid take a plastic bottle and he shoved 2 sticks through it and he called it a truck. And he was running the truck around on a gravel road. I got to meet my sponsor kid, and I had given him a soccer ball about 6 months ago. And his soccer ball had a hole in it. But he keeps it, and he cherishes it because, you know, it's something that something was given to him. So he keeps a soccer ball with a hole in it as a toy for him. So just amazing. Yet these kids are happy. So I saw a little girl playing with my daughter's hair. There's a picture up there, and she's doing all kinds of things with her hair, and she's happy. I saw another little girl. She put a spider on the back of Greg's shoulder when he wasn't looking. Sorry, Greg, I didn't say anything because I thought it was cute. They're happy. And it really showed me, all the things that I have. And sometimes we're not happy. And we're not happy with what we have. And what do we have not to be, why are we not happy? So to see these kids, it's just life-changing. So it's just so many good experiences. I got to build a bridge with a bunch of fellow believers. And we had morning prayers. We got to do all kinds of things. So there's just so many stories, too much to say up here, but it was a great experience. And I thank you guys. amen to our great group, great group of teens, and our adults were fantastic too. Everybody chipping in and serving different ways. The Berries aren't here today. I also wanted to say there's a pretty cool thing. Some of you know Allison Berry is really into to dance and ballet and that kind of thing. And she, the last 2 days in the Bate, apparently organized some of the girls and taught them some dance and ballet. And some of the pictures you see up there are of Allison smiling bigger than I've ever seen her smile, or with her after teaching some of those girls ballet. And just a cool opportunity for her to use, you know, her gifts and skills to be a light to those girls. And they were excited about it. They were excited showing their moms and stuff afterwards about the dance. So, all right, at this time, we're going to turn it over. We have three interns. So Abe and Alyssa and Faith are each going to share briefly, and then Sean will come up and close us. So.
All right. Good morning, everyone. So as most of you know, my name is Abe, and I was an intern for the month of July at Freedom. So I initially applied for construction work, but since they needed interns to help with the schools, I transferred to the schools. So at the time, I much would have rather been on construction. I'm not glad that I was at the schools because I was able to learn and grow through the experiences with the kids. So a typical school day started with us at 6:20 or 7:20 on a bus route. So we'd go into the Bates and pick up the kids. So we'd be in charge of giving them name tags, keeping order on the bus, stuff like that. So when they got to Freedom, they ate breakfast, and then we'd start English enrichment program. So as one of the school interns, I was expected to teach in the English enrichment, so during which time no Spanish was allowed. So over the 4 weeks, I was able to teach from three-year-olds all the way to sixth graders. So every day we taught three new vocabulary words, and so over the week they learned 12 words in each class. So camp was after lunch, and that lasted about 3 hours. And so every intern was in charge of a group of 8 to 10 kids. So we'd start camp with a big group game, have an activity like maybe a water game or a scavenger hunt or something. Next, we'd walk back in the field, and we'd do like a small craft in each group. And then we'd go over like memory verses in Spanish. And then Scott Michener, who is one of the missionaries in charge, would give a lesson in Spanish, and then we'd sing songs as a group. So camp was, the first week was pretty rough. It was probably the most difficult part of the day for me because we're expected to keep track of the kids and they're like constantly running around and being crazy. And so we'd be walking back from like the big group game, we'd come back to the multi-use building and you'd have one kid running off here, another kid jumping on you, and then like the third kid goes and chases the first and you have to like keep them in a line. And so it sometimes get kind of stressful, but I would say, like, the first week, we got dead last place, but the next week, I don't know if I told Jill or Angie this, we actually got first place. So we did something right the next week. So, so at one time, all the kids decided to stop and randomly start throwing rocks around, and so I told them, next person to throw the rock is going to Kurt. He's the principal in the office. So one of the kids looks right at me, reaches down, picks up a rock, and just throws it. And so, like, that was the kind of stuff we had to deal with, and so although it was stressful at sometimes, I enjoyed it. We were able to grow relationships with the kids, and so that was a good time. So during camp, there's also VBS and the Bates. So some of the interns would go to the camp, some would go to the Bates. So I did 2 weeks in each, and VBS was probably my favorite part of the day. It was we'd take a bus, we'd go to a Bate called Atilano Dos, and so we visited this Bate the whole summer long, and so we were able to build relationships with the kids and the parents and the people living there. So when we'd arrive, we'd walk through the villages, we'd collect all the kids, and we'd come into the church, and then they'd give a lesson in Spanish, and then we'd have crafts and stuff. And then we'd play soccer and jump rope and blow bubbles, that kind of stuff. So it was a lot more relaxing camp, mainly because I didn't have to be in charge. I just kind of sit back and let the missionaries do it. So going to the Bates was really a time to see how much as Americans we take for granted. So while we're very well-educated, many adults in the DR can't even write their own names. We have running water and electricity in our houses. They lack both of those. They have, like, a single spigot in the Bate for everyone to use and share. And so we can even decide, like, what career we want to go into in the DR. If you're a man, you're almost certainly going to be a sugarcane cutter, and they get from $60 to $70 a week. And then if you're a woman, you're going to be cooking, cleaning, childbearing, stuff like that. So also, we enjoy, like, great meals every day, lots of variety. In the Dominican, they usually live on rice and beans because it's cheap and it's filling. So we have just countless luxuries that they can only dream about. So this experience reminded me of how much God has given me, and often that I don't even think about. So overall, it was a great time. I was glad I went. It challenged me in many ways, and so I look forward to going there again. So thank you for your support.
Good morning. As many of you know, I was blessed with the opportunity to intern for 6 weeks in the Dominican. And so when I first arrived, I had pre-K 3s. They were brand new. They had never gone to Freedom before. So there was lots of crying, lots of bathroom accidents. And it was very stressful to start out with. And I just thought, oh my, like, I'm not sure how I'm going to be able to do this for another month. Like, It was very different, much different than being a team member, which I had gone down previously a few times. So, but just through, it just really made me realize that depending on God and just through prayer, by the middle of that week, I was falling in love with it, and it just got so much easier. So God really was just showing me that the kids that are the hardest to love are the ones that need it the most. I had a student, I think he was in fourth grade. He didn't want me to touch him. He didn't want me to talk to him, nothing. And so, I mean, I still tried. And he just finally, through like the midweek, he just broke down and he let me hold him. And I was just like, it was just amazing to see just the progress that we would make with him through the time that I was there. And then I also found out from a missionary that he was asking if Freedom could send a bus out to his bati on Saturday so that he could come back to Freedom. So that was just really cool to hear that. And just overall, it was an amazing experience and I really hope to go back. So thank you all for your support and prayers.
Good morning. I was given the opportunity this summer to work with Freedom for 9 weeks. During that time, I was able to teach first through third graders and preschool. There are so many stories that I could tell, but one sticks out is about Jasmine, a little second grader. Every morning, I was able to ride on the bus out to the Bates, the villages that is, to pick up the students. One morning, like all the others, I was outside the bus checking attendance when a sharp yell caught my attention. Jasmine was curled up in the dirt in a ball, trying to block hits from her mother and her aunt that were giving her hits with sticks. I raced over to them and told them enough. As I grabbed her, I was hit with a stick on the arm, and my arm began to swell and bruise on the ride back to Freedom. I thought about what Christ did for us. Isaiah 53:5 says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." God gave me the opportunity to love this child as he loves us. It's that love we are called to share with others, and it was through that sacrificial love that Jesus made us children of God. As 1 John 3:1 reminds us, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." Thank you all for your prayers and support.
From Mark chapter 10. It's a familiar story to most of us. It reads, "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus. 'Teacher,' they said, 'we want you to do for us whatever we ask.'" Just a little tip. If anyone ever comes up to you and they say, "Will you do for me whatever I ask?" That's probably a trick. Jesus was on to them, but he said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they replied, Let's do this. When you come in your glory, have one of us sit on your left and the other sit on your right. That's what we want, Jesus. And you know what they were doing there, James and John, sons of Zebedee? They were being very normal. They were acting like sinful human beings. They were thinking of themselves. And that's what sin programs us to do. Now, maybe you're one of those people that would say, well, I would never want that. I could never even come up here and do what, you know, these young people have just done and share. I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want to sit on Jesus's left or right. But you would want something else, probably. Maybe not power, but maybe comfort, or maybe pleasure, or who knows what else. We all would, right? We're programmed to think of ourselves. It continues. Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking. Can you drink this cup that I'm drinking and be baptized with the baptism I'm going to be baptized with? And of course, said, oh, yeah, sure. We've thought all this through, Jesus, which is silly, right? And Jesus says, it's not for me to grant to sit on my right or my left. These places belong to those for whom they've been prepared. So Jesus shut that down. And says, when the 10 heard of this, they became indignant with James and John. Mad, angry. And we would probably expect them to respond that way. We are all, I think, very good at spotting selfishness in other people, aren't we? I know I am. Not nearly as skilled in spotting selfishness in myself, but I can see it in other people pretty quick. And I've wondered before when I've read this story if maybe the 10 were thinking, why didn't we think of that? Maybe that's why they were upset. I'm sure that you have noticed we make a big deal about the Dominican and our ministry there with Freedom. Why do we do that? Why is that such a big deal to us? Let Jesus speak to this, maybe. Here in verse 42, his response to them. You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. They like to show them how much power they have and, you know, take advantage of you. Their officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. In other words, James and John, it's not like you missed it by a little bit here. It's like you missed it by a mile. You are way off. You don't understand the mission. The Son of God comes down to earth not to show people how powerful he is, not to exert his power over others, but to be overpowered. Not to make people serve him as the king that he was, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And it probably hasn't escaped anyone's notice that the day and the age that we're living in that affects all of us, myself included, and you, whether you'll admit it or not, it's the me generation. It's me, me, me. It's us. I was talking to somebody recently about the volatility of the stock market, and this was someone who has money invested in stocks and in a matter of a couple of days had lost thousands of dollars in mutual funds. And he said, I might just get stock in, just individual companies. And I said, you know what you need to do is find companies that cater to vanity. You can't lose. If you can find companies that cater to people's vanity and selfishness, that's a winner. I don't care what else is happening in the stock market. Have you noticed that? And do you think that that doesn't affect us all? It affects me. It affects us all. Maybe not let me sit on your right or your left, but God, make my life really comfortable. Make my relationships really easy. Make my work easy. I want easy money. I want everything to go my way. And if I don't get my way, I'm not going to be very happy. Have you noticed that? Have you seen it in you? Why are we excited about freedom? Why are we excited about our young people going down there and our older people? Because it's an opportunity to follow Jesus, not into the throne room, not to sit on his right or his left, but it's an opportunity to follow Jesus up that hill, the hill that he died on. That's the calling that we have. The calling isn't for me to make my life great, make my life easy, make my life comfortable, make my life fun. That's not my calling as a Christian. Jesus said, discipleship, die to yourself. Do what I did. I came not to be served, but to serve. And here's the really curious thing. And I've challenged my kids, I don't know how many times. Think about the people you know that seem to have the most joy in their lives. Are those people who are living for themselves, striving to make their own lives better and better and better? And they're not. That's the great irony. And some of us have seen that. Jesus has taught us to really live. In dying, to really know life. K-N-O-W. To really know and experience real life. And so he's calling us not to wake up every day and think about how can my needs be met, but to wake up every day and say, Lord, live through me. And that's why we're excited about freedom. It's a great opportunity. And if you haven't been there, maybe you can't go there. Maybe your work doesn't allow it or family things. So we're not saying everybody can go. But I would say take a look and see if it's possible to get down there, because I think God will grow you through that experience if you're able to go. I don't know anybody who's ever come back and said, I wish I wouldn't have done it. Everybody that goes seems to come back and say, it was great. It was a great experience. It was great for me. And, you know, and it's very true to say, hey, I can serve God anywhere. I can make disciples anywhere. We're called to make disciples. I can make disciples at work. That's good. And you should. Okay? But understand something else, too. Jesus told his disciples at one point, look around. The fields are ripe for harvest. And if you have a field, if you're a farmer and you have a field and it's ready to go, you better get out there. If you have a field that's not ready to go, maybe that one you can wait a little bit. And I'm telling you, down there, the field's ripe. These little kids are just soaking it in. They're not, you know, you witness to your neighbor and you've got a lot to overcome sometimes. Things that they've heard about Christians or Christianity or whatever. These kids haven't read the New Atheists, okay? They don't have objections to Christianity. They're just soaking it all in. Those are fields that are ready and ripe. So we should be there because God has opened up a way for us to do that. And no matter what it is in life, whether it's going to freedom or in your job, your workplace, wherever, I hope it's increasingly your desire and mine that we would follow Jesus up that hill, that we would say, this life is not about me. It's not about my enjoyment. It's not about my fun. It's not about my comfort. It's not about my 401k. It's about learning to really live, finding joy and giving my life away just like Jesus did. And I want to challenge each person here. Ask yourself this question. What hard things am I intentionally inviting into my life? What difficult things? And we heard about some of those this morning. Alyssa said, I didn't know if I could make it. you know. But you made it. Where'd you go, Alyssa? You're not with your family. Okay, you're over there. You made it, didn't you? And you learned something. And you grew through that. And you saw that, God would get you through. What hard things, what difficult challenges, what uncomfortable situations are you intentionally inviting into your life so that God will grow you as you learn to die to yourself and live for Him? That's a question for all of us. And just a word of encouragement. God is not the kind of God who calls us to hard things and then leaves us hanging. He gives us His Spirit, and He will never call you to something that He will not empower you to do. Let's close in song.